A gruesome injury just 5 minutes into the Celtics' first game of the year raises questions about the team just as their season was beginning. It's Wednesday, October 18th, 2017. I'm Chris Gasper, and this is Season Ticket. Welcome to Season Ticket, a daily podcast from the Boston Globe Sports Department and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. The Celtics' hopes for a powerful combination on the floor suffered a devastating setback on Tuesday night in their season opener against the Cleveland Cavaliers. After an offseason of attention-grabbing acquisitions, a preseason of anticipation, a new era of Celtics basketball got underway on Tuesday night. However, just 5 minutes into the game, the Celtics' Gordon Hayward jumped to try and convert an alley-oop from Kyrie Irving. The result? Disaster.
They're going up. Oh, my goodness. Hayward came down so hard. Okay. Hayward broke his leg. Hayward has broken his leg. Oh, my gosh. And that is how quickly a season can change.
Hayward broke his ankle and fractured his tibia when he landed. Just like that, the Celtics' season had taken a turn. The Celtics lost to the Cavaliers 102-99. Now, the storyline going into the game was about the potential rivalry between the Celtics' new acquisition, Kyrie Irving, who the team acquired from Cleveland for Isaiah Thomas. Instead, the whole Celtics season has a very different feel now. Joining me now is Boston Globe senior NBA writer Gary Washburn. He was in Cleveland last night, and he's in studio with us today. Gary, what was your reaction to the injury?
I was shocked, like everyone else. LeBron and Jay Crowder were kind of surrounding him, and I saw him fall awkwardly and then kind of like slump to the floor. And then I was like, that's not good. Like, I think he either rolled his ankle or like he did something bad. And then he like looked and started pointing at his ankle. And I was like, oh, this is really bad. I didn't see the, we don't have replays where we sit. We don't, I mean, the TNT broadcast was a little ways away. So we didn't have replays or anything like that. So I just saw him point at his leg, like, oh, my God. And then you just saw the reaction and just everybody kind of converged. And some guys returned way. And the arena was like a morgue. It was, like, solemn.
And the murmur you're hearing in the background of the fans really says it all.
People were groaning for that. I've seen a lot of injuries in my days of covering sports, torn ACLs, torn tendons. Never seen anything like that before in my career. It was the worst I've seen.
Yeah, certainly a horrific injury for Gordon Hayward. And as I mentioned, you know, Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving were the leaders of this team. I think they're why people were excited about this remade Celtics team. And they only got to see it for about 5 minutes and 45 seconds. So what does this mean for the team going forward? What do the Boston Celtics look like without Gordon Hayward for however long he's out?
Well, you have to look at the numbers here. If you put in your analytical cap and project what he was going to do, it was probably going to be, 20, 22, 23 points at max, maybe 7 rebounds, 6-7 assists. So now you've got to come up with those numbers. It's going to be more opportunity, and it's unfortunate, Chris. I mean, you've covered sports for many years. It's the next man up theory. I mean, that's what the Patriots would be saying right now. You know, when Edelman went down, they mourned, and then they were like, well, who's next? Who's going to step up? It's going to have to be Amendola. And the same thing with the Celtics. It's going to have to be Brown. It's going to have to be Tatum. Marcus Morris is going to have to respond. Al Horford's going to have to score more. Kyrie is going to have to score more. Marcus Smart. Collectively, they're going to have to try to do this unless Danny Ainge, president of basketball operations, is gung-ho on making a move to get another small forward swingman type. I think they've got two or three of those guys on the team already. I think in the second half last night, we saw the potential of Brown and Tatum. It was not I wouldn't call it a silver lining because it was a horrible night for the Celtics and the organization, but the fact that they came back, they literally could have won the game. I mean, they were up, I want to say, 99, 96.
They were up.
They literally,
in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they just didn't finish the game and close it out. But that happens, and LeBron's still the best player on earth. But there's hope. People are saying, oh, now they're going to be, you know, a fifth seed. And I think they're just going to have to recover. They're going to have to figure this out. And I trust, given his mentality, Brad Stevens to make something happen, but it's going to have to be the guys who are already in that locker room, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, Gordon Hayward's not an easy guy to replace. I mean, we're talking about an all-star player, a guy who in the West last year playing for the Utah Jazz was the face of the franchise and got the Jazz into the playoffs in the Western Conference, which is much tougher than the Eastern Conference. I think it's hard to replace him. I mean, you were talking about replacing an elite player in the NBA. Now, look, I'm not saying he's Kevin Durant or James Harden. He's not at that level yet, but he's an all-star. You can't just sort of grab another all-star, and I think it's a lot to ask of, say, Jason Tatum, who's a rookie. Tatum had 14 points and 10 rebounds last night, and he played much better in the second half than in the first half, but it's a lot to ask him to immediately play at an all-star level. Jaylen Brown was good last night, career-high 25 points, but he's only in his second year. He's not even 21 years old. You're going to ask him to play at an all-star level. For me, this does change the expectations for the Celtics in the East. I'm not saying that they can't contend because, look, we'll see what happens. There are some indications that as gruesome as this injury was for Hayward, he'll be able to return this season and come back in late March or April and be around for the playoffs. But the big thing about this season, Gary, was how were all the pieces going to fit together? How were guys going to bond? 11 new faces. How would Hayward play off of Kyrie Irving? Well, now they're going to lose 4 or 5 months to build that on-court rapport. And if they're lucky, he shows up in March and April for the most important games. And it's like Kyrie, Gordon, basically being introduced to each other. And how do they play together?
Yeah, but nobody cares in terms of like the rest of the NBA. No one has sympathy for the Celtics right now. People have sympathy for Gordon Hayward. You never want to see a player hurt like that. But I don't think the rest of the teams in the Eastern Conference are going, boy, we really wish that they were at full strength. Okay, so they're going to have to figure something out. And you look at the East, besides Cleveland, what team is going to emerge? Washington? They have the same team as last year. Toronto? I think they're sort of running on fumes at this point. I'm just not seeing Toronto as that team that's going to just grab, and they can't beat Cleveland. Cleveland has a trance over them. So there's still opportunity, okay? You've got 81 more games to play. And I just tend to think, Chris, that in professional sports, if this had been in March where they had already gathered their chemistry,
yeah,
and then now he's done for the year, I think, man, that's tough because you've already played 54, 55 games with Hayward. They don't even know what it's like to play with this dude now. Unfortunately.
Yeah, they had him for less than 6 minutes.
Like, so pretty much the team that they start fielding is the team. This is who they're going to be. They're going to change their personality. And as I brought up with the Patriots, I mean, the Patriots have lost guys for the season and other previous seasons that had great success because they just figured it out.
Well, but also because they have Tom Brady, let's be honest. I mean, Tom Brady's human spackle. Like, if there's any hole there, he just plugs it.
Well, Chris, they almost went to the playoffs when they had Matt Cassel.
I covered that season. They were 11-5, but they still didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, but they were 11-5. I mean, my goodness.
But they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, but because the AFC was...
And the year before, the team had gone 16-0, so they were 5 games worse without Tom Brady.
Yeah, but they weren't going to go 16-0 again, Chris.
I mean, it was largely the same team that came back. Look, I understand your point, Wash. I'm just saying... Let me frame it to you this way then, because I understand what you're saying, but I think the whole next man up thing, a big part of it is culture, and Brad Stevens creates the culture. I agree with you there. But a lot of it is having that star that in a time of adversity, everybody can look to and lean on. Kyrie Irving is 25 years old. He's a former number one pick, but he's never been that guy on a winning team. Like on the teams he's been on that have won, he had LeBron. This is what he wanted. Can Kyrie Irving be that guy for Tatum?
He's going to have to be. He's going to have to be. This is what he wanted. I mean, Horford's a leader by example. Guys are going to have the opportunity to step their games up. This is their chance. I'm sure Jaylen wasn't, as much as he appreciated Gordon Hayward being there, I'm sure he feels like he's ready to start the NBA. I'm sure Jason Tatum would love more playing time, and he's going to get it. Marcus Morris is going to emerge as a factor. I'm not saying they're going to go to the finals. I'm saying that they're one game in. They're going to figure this out. Now, whether that means I don't think they're going to win 58 games as I predicted, but are they still one of the top teams in the East with their roster, considering that in Chicago, the dudes are punching each other out at practice, other teams are tanking? Like, yeah, I still think that they can be the number two seed.
Yeah. How do you think this injury affected Brad Stevens personally? Because we mentioned Brad Stevens and the culture he creates, and I think people were excited to see what he would do with Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving, and a little – backstory here for those of you who don't know. Brad Stevens recruited and coached Gordon Hayward in college. How did this affect Brad Stevens personally, in your opinion?
I don't think we know. I'm sure he was devastated. But Brad is the same regardless of the situation. He's unflappable.
Stevens did address his feelings about the Hayward injury after the game.
Obviously, you hurt for him. You know, he's put in a lot of great work, and I thought he had his most comfortable week as far as feeling like he was going to play really well. And, you know, but now we'll, you know, hopefully get a full recovery, right? And so it's a, you know, it's a tough deal, but, you know, I guess that's part of it, the risk of injury. But I really feel for him.
Yeah, what was the emotion like?
Obviously, he'll agonize over this for a couple of days, but they got a game tonight. I mean, Milwaukee is a team that wants to punch them around. Milwaukee's a team that wants to be kings of the East and wants to compete. Milwaukee doesn't have any sympathy for them. So I think Brad understands, I can't let my personal emotions get involved. I can't take a week to mourn. I have to be the leader of this franchise. So I think he'll shake it off. He'll obviously have constant touch with Gordon over the next couple of days. He'll talk with his guys, and he'll try to reshape this team to be a competitor.
Just quickly here, when do you think we'll get some sort of, you know, update on Hayward's situation?
Well, he went to the hospital. I've been told it could be surgical procedure today. And they're going to determine through MRIs whether he did ligament, nerve damage, all of that. I mean, that's the tough part. It could get tougher for the Celtics.
Yeah, certainly a very tough season opener for the Celtics. All right, coming up, we're going to have reaction from some of Gordon Hayward's teammates. And also, there was an outpouring of support from the rest of the NBA after they saw Hayward's terrible injury. We'll talk about that coming up next. Welcome back. A quick note, if you like Season Ticket, be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, or if you have an Android phone, check us out on Stitcher or Google Play. Subscribing is the best way to make sure you get the latest episode as soon as it's available. Back here with Gary Washburn, senior NBA writer and columnist with the Boston Globe. Gary, we're going to hear from some of Gordon Hayward's teammates, and obviously this was devastating for them to watch, starting with Kyrie Irving.
You know, his spirit's still here with us. We know G is going to be fighting to get back on the court. But first things first is just, you know, putting our good spirits in him as well and showing him that we are as one and we got his back.
How shocking was it?
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Everybody saw it. Come on, man.
How did you guys regroup?
Gary, Kyrie, when you look at it, he might be the guy outside of Gordon Hayward who's the most affected by this, because Kyrie sort of staked his reputation and his career on coming here and winning and playing with Gordon Hayward, and now he's not going to be able to do that until March or April in a best-case scenario.
Yeah, I don't think people would blame Kyrie for not resurrecting the franchise to the finals without Gordon Hayward. I think there would be people would give him a break. I do think Kyrie understands that this is a league that there's very little sympathy, and people are going to move on. I mean, people were devastated by the injury, but then Houston played Golden State, and the Twitter world focused his entire attention on that game, and now there's, 10 games tonight? So it's going to be a process. Kyrie's affected. Al's affected. All these guys are affected. I mean, it was a ghastly injury. I'm shocked that they were able to come back and play so well in the second half last night, because it was scary. Like, as a journalist, it was just like, we weren't really watching the – Adam and I weren't really watching the game. It was just – the first half was just a daze. You were just like, I don't believe this just happened.
Everybody was shell-shocked.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, wow, they're down 18. Okay, they're losing their gill, and it was understandable. But I think you kind of have to understand that these guys are more resilient than we give them credit for. So I think once Gordon talks to his teammates, once they maybe can visit him at the hospital, maybe they make a trip. This team has tomorrow off before they go to Philadelphia. I think guys will be a little bit more, a sense of normalcy. And then it's get to work, figure this thing out. How can we remain competitive? How can we remain a major factor in the East?
I felt for Jason Tatum. He's a rookie. His first game, you know, he's playing LeBron James. He gets his first shot blocked. And then he has to deal with the gruesome Gordon Hayward injury. And he sort of spoke about it after the game, not really as Hayward's teammate, but just as more of a human being.
You know, it was tough on all of us. You never want to see anything like that happen to anybody, especially one of your guys.
What did you guys say to each other during the break?
I mean, we prayed for him, for his health, and we just told each other we got to stick together.
Now, he's obviously one of the guys that has to step up, and I mean, Marcus Smart, to me, is a guy that's going to have to step up as well, because he's the longest tenured Celtic, which is amazing to say for a guy who was drafted in 2014, the sixth overall pick.
Who's 23.
Who's 23 years old and did not get that contract extension. He played so hard last night, and the defense was great, and it was a typical Marcus Smart game, which was good because he made an impact, but it was bad because I had been reading all this stuff about improved shooting. I didn't see it.
No, he started 0 for 9. I mean, he was launching them. And I just think that was the days, like, all that was in the first half. They needed scoring. They needed someone to step up. And Marcus is like, okay, I'm going to try to hit some big shots. And
like game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals in Cleveland last year, when he scored 27 points.
Yeah, 7 threes. And he was just like, okay, I'm going to put the team on my back. You know, you got to admire his guts. You got to admire his fortitude because he has confidence. I just think of the second half, he got comfortable. He turned Kyle Korver essentially into barbecue chicken with the post moves. You know, he was way more comfortable like everyone else in the second half. And this is Marcus's chance. And you hate to say that in someone's moment of despair, it opens up an opportunity, but it does. Marcus is playing for a contract now. It's up to Marcus. Am I a frontline starting player in this league? He's going to have a chance to prove it. And then next summer, he's a restricted free agent, which means teams can make him contract offers and the Celtics have the right to match. And he could get a very lucrative deal. So I think if I'm Marcus Smart, listen, I'm playing for my money. I'm playing for my future. I'm playing for my Celtics future. And I'm also playing to help this team get to the next level despite this catastrophic injury.
This injury obviously overshadowed everything that happened in Cleveland. And we know now with social media that it's a gathering place for people to express their feelings whenever there's any sort of moment that brings everybody together, that everybody's watching or that everybody can't believe. And that's what happened with this injury last night to Gordon Hayward. There were NBA players who went on social media and expressed support for Hayward. He's a popular player in the league. He's played with USA Basketball. In fact, he was on that USA Basketball team in 2014 when Paul George, who now plays for the Oklahoma City Thunder, suffered a similar gruesome injury. And Hayward was actually on the bench for that. So Paul George was one of the players who reached out to him. Steph Curry of the Warriors tweeting prayers for Gordon Hayward, come back stronger. James Harden of the Rockets. These are guys that were playing last night. There were only two games in the NBA last night. It was Celtics, Cleveland Cavaliers, and the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors versus the Houston Rockets. These guys were getting ready to play, and they tweeted out. So here's James Harden. Prayers out for Gordon Hayward. Wishing you a healthy recovery. Bradley Beal of the Wizards. There's no love lost between the Wizards and the Celtics. We know that from their second-round playoff series last year. He tweeted out prayers up for Gordon Hayward. So as much as basketball is a competitive sport, and these guys are competitors, and there can be bad blood, it's also a brotherhood.
Totally. And the fact is, Chris, as you know, these guys played AAU together, high school. No one likes these types of injuries. Like you saw, and we talk NFL a lot, Chris, and the whole Aaron Rodgers injury.
Yes.
You know, and you got guys, well, that's just the game. You know what? That's not a dirty play. These injuries in the NBA don't happen as much. These season-ending injuries don't happen as often. These ghastly injuries that you don't want to – this doesn't happen often at all. I mean, I was just thinking last night, I mean, how many games has Gordon Hayward played in over his years? Pickup games, NBA games, college games, practices. How many times has he jumped in the air with guys around him? Thousands. And this time. And that's the shocking part of this whole thing, that NBA guys kind of realize their mortality in a sense.
They all could be one player away from that.
Exactly. And then we under what went, you know, why these contracts are guaranteed and what these guys go, that goes into another topic. But
no, but that's a good point. You're right. I mean, people complain about the money and all that stuff, but it could, I mean, that injury could have been career ending for Gordon Hayward.
Totally career ending. And so I think NBA players look at that and realize that, you know, because these guys are in their 20s, they're at their total athletic peaks, and they look and go, wow, one play, one alley-oop where some guy nudges me in the air, which easily can happen, then I land on another guy's foot or I land awkwardly, that could be me. I think everyone saw that. Every NBA player looked and said, he didn't jump into the stands where it's like, what are you doing? Or it wasn't something he did. It was just, he jumped. Man, it happened. The whole thing was surreal.
Yeah, certainly the storyline of this Celtics season, the subtext of the season, the way we perceive their season all changed in an instant when Gordon Hayward went down. Gary, thank you for coming in and joining us. That's Gary Washburn, senior NBA writer and columnist for the Boston Globe. You can find Gary on Twitter. His handle is at @GWashburnNBAGlobe. Gary, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Finally, the cheap seats. Let's not forget that baseball's postseason is still ongoing. Baseball is our national pastime. Part of its timeless charm is that it's an untimed game. But this postseason, baseball has been more time-consuming than timeless. After a season where the average time of game for a 9-inning contest was a record 3 hours and 5 minutes, postseason games have dragged on even longer, averaging 3 hours and 35 minutes for a 9-inning contest. In fact, the longest 9-inning postseason game in Major League Baseball history was played this postseason between the Chicago Cubs and the Washington Nationals, checking in at 4 hours and 37 minutes. Baseball has gotten lax with its enforcement of pace of play rules. Remember those? It was supposed to be keeping batters in the batter's box and making sure pitchers did not throw the ball with unnecessary delay. What feels like there's a lot of unnecessary delay now in these postseason games. Part of the beauty of baseball is that it's not constrained by a clock. Unfortunately, the rest of us are. So baseball needs to quicken the pace or start losing part of its fan base. And that's it for this edition of Season Ticket. If you liked us, be sure to tell a friend and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. For more great sports stories, subscribe to the Boston Globe. Season Ticket is a production of the WBUR iLab and the Boston Globe. I'm Chris Gasper. We'll see you tomorrow.